Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Another week of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad you're with us. We do this each weekday at 11 a.m. You could often catch the replay at 3 o'clock. We're streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. There's a podcast of each show on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts as well. So no reason not to be with us in some form or fashion each day on the program. A lot to get to today. First, to quickly recap a busy weekend, not just of local sports as we get into really the summer months, but a busy weekend on the Big X of local sports as well. We started with IU baseball on Friday afternoon, a disappointing loss for the Hoosiers to fall to the consolation side, the elimination side, whatever you want to term it, in the double elimination regional over at Louisville. Saturday, we had high school baseball. Silver Creek won the morning game. Jeffersonville was oh so close in their 4A regional semifinal game. They were down early, came back, tied it up, then took the lead on some great hitting, and then extra innings, Columbus East just barely got past Jeffersonville, and Columbus East that night would go on to win that regional and go on to semi-state. Then we were back across town in Evansville at the University of Evansville, their baseball field. Silver Creek brought home a back-to-back regional championship in high school baseball. So they will live to play another day. The Dragons are the only local team from our immediate area that we have to follow next Saturday in the semi-state round of play. And the crazy thing is the Dragons don't know their opponent. They don't know their location yet. It's either going to be Mooresville up towards central Indiana, just south of Indianapolis, or Jasper back toward Evansville in the southwest corner of the state. And none of the semi-state teams in Indiana at this point know where they're going to play. Some may know their opponent, but with Silver Creek's situation, their opponents, the game was delayed. It got underway. The game with some weather moving through was delayed until Monday night. There was a couple games, I think, around different parts of the state that were delayed. So the IHSA is holding off on semi-state location assignments. And the Dragons should know, I would think, later tonight, not only who they will play. It's either going to be Frankfort or Edgewood. And again, the game will either be at Mooresville or Jasper. One thing I can tell you is we'll be there. The Big X will be there live for pitch-by-pitch coverage of that game. And again, we look forward to being on the road with the Dragons again this coming weekend. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have a couple news and notes, our Hoosier headlines, but we're going to have a guest in this segment coming up here in just a few minutes as well, Corey Norman. He's an assistant coach at Jeffersonville High School and has been very instrumental in helping organize the Indiana-Kentucky Junior All-Star game that's going to take place in Jeffersonville. He'll give you all the details about that coming up here in just a few moments as well. Later in the program, segment two, as always, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins the show. A lot of baseball stuff to talk with Zach. I know everybody had full attention, IU fans, to the regional across the river in Louisville over the weekend, and Indiana did not play its best baseball. We know this baseball team's pretty good. They won the Big Ten Conference. They finished the regular season strong. They went to the conference tournament in Omaha, and to be honest, they stunk it up, and there were remnants of stinking it up this weekend as well in that loss to Illinois State. Illinois State's a good team. They're a mid-major team that beat a lot of high majors or a number of high major teams this season, but Indiana just could not get it going. They finally did late in the game and come back to make it close and make it exciting at the finish, but too little, too late, and Indiana falls in that first game. Then all the excitement after they got to play back to where everybody wanted, which was an IU-Louisville game instead of on Saturday, it was on Sunday. Some very controversial and exciting moments to that game. Once again, Indiana got down early. They did come back. Some questionable umpiring, I think, really both ways. A Louisville pitcher was kicked out. He's going to miss 4 games, the penalty for that. So Louisville would have to play really deep into the Super Regional and maybe even the next round, the College World Series, for him to return, which is unbelievable. And, of course, there's controversy on what the player actually said and who he was addressing with his words. But nonetheless, the home plate umpire, with a full count, threw him out and against that final batter in the game, which meant that Louisville had to bring in a new pitcher for essentially one strike, but potentially one pitch. Even after the game, there's some photos of one of the IU assistant coaches with a Louisville Metro police officer trying to get in between, as they had some concerns. It looks like the Indiana side of things as well with some of the calls and maybe that last pitch. There's been people say it bounced in the dirt and there's no way it should have been a called strike. But nonetheless, a lot of controversy in that game. Louisville wins, and they are headed to the Super Regional now as winners of their own regional over the weekend. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Indiana, Kentucky Junior All-Stars, the series got underway yesterday. It's a lot like the seniors. It's a 2-game series. It's fairly new. There's been an Indiana Junior All-Star team for a number of years, but they have scrimmaged against the Senior All-Stars as a tune-up before they go play Kentucky. That format has changed. There is still one exhibition between the juniors and seniors, but there now is a state series between Kentucky and Indiana. The girls and the boys, one is in Kentucky each year, one is in Indiana each year, and the Kentucky version of the junior-senior game was last night at Assumption High School, and Indiana's boys, the junior boys, of course, include a number of prospects that Indiana will be very interested in, or is very interested in. Trey Galloway of Culver Academy, he had a big performance last night. Also, Anthony Leal of Bloomington South. Indiana got up 42-23 with about 10 minutes and a half remaining in the first half in that game. They would go on to lose to Kentucky, final score 115-104. So obviously a big change in events from midway through the first half through the rest of the game. Kentucky coming back, not only getting the lead after trailing early by basically 20 points, but coming back to win the ball game as well. For Indiana, they were led last night by players that you would expect to lead them. Dre Davis had 18 points. Jaden Ivey, he's a Purdue commit from Mishawaka, he had 13 points. Trey Galloway, who just completed an official visit to IU last week, he had 13 points as well. And Anthony Leal of Bloomington South, who just recently, like over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, I believe, had an unofficial visit to Indiana. He had 11 points as well. And Kyron Powell out of Evansville-Ballsy, who's going to be a real name to watch to see if his recruiting is already taking off. We'll see if he gets the high major schools like Indiana and others. But he had double figures in the game as well. The good news for Indiana, after a good start, ended up getting beat last night over in Louisville. They get a rematch tonight, and that rematch is right here in Southern Indiana at William S. Johnson Arena at Jeffersonville High School. And joining me right now is Corey Norman, a great friend and assistant coach at Jeffersonville High School. He was a great player, a state champion. He was recently put on the Silver Anniversary team by the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame, and he's done a lot to help pull this together so Jeffersonville can play host tonight to what should be a really, really exciting evening of high school basketball here in the month of June, which we're not always treated to good basketball in this month. Corey, tell us the details. I know you've put a lot of work into this. We'll start with the tickets and the time and when the boys and when the girls play tonight, and then we'll get into some other details.
Yeah, yes, sir. Tonight, the doors will open at 5 o'clock. The tickets will be $7. The girls' game will begin at 6, and the boys' contest will follow the girls.
Corey Norman is my guest talking Indiana-Kentucky juniors tonight. This is a big deal, I think, for Jeffersonville to host this game. We've seen other area schools in recent years host either a junior game or host a junior-senior exhibition, and I think anytime we can bring basketball's best to a basketball crazy like Southern Indiana, it's a good thing, and I'm sure that you agree with that, Corey.
I do. It's been a an honor, actually, to host the game and get everything organized. It's ironic, I'm the All-Star Director for Indiana, my high school coach, Mike Broughton, so that made it even more fun. And we happen to have two of our student athletes from Jeffersonville playing, Nan Garcia and Trey Coleman. So this has been a pretty fun deal.
I tell you, tonight, when I look at the roster for Indiana specifically, obviously we have a lot of IU fans listening to this program. You've got players like Trey Galloway of Culver Academies and Anthony Lill of Bloomington South, who are great high school players and who are receiving attention from IU, scholarship offers in some of those cases from Indiana. Both players have recently been on the campus as well. So if you're an IU fan, you've got that going for you tonight. You can come out and potentially see some future IU Hoosier players that they're going to definitely continue to recruit very closely no matter what happens over the next year or so. But then you mentioned the local players, Nan Garcia in the girls' game, Trey Coleman on the boys' side as well will be playing tonight with some other Southern Indiana stars from across the area. So you got a good mix, Corey. It's IU guys, it's D1 guys, it's local guys as well. No reason for a basketball fan not to come out and take this in.
No, I think it'd be a great event to come watch. There's no secret, Kentuckiana is a hotbed for basketball, with being right across the river from Louisville, Kentucky, and it's just a unique situation. We're not far from Lexington, which obviously is UK, and IU is about an hour and 30 minutes away, so it's just a good location to bring everybody in and have a nice little contest and let the kids compete.
Now, Corey, obviously, is an assistant coach, former player at Jeffersonville, you know the area very well. You also know what it takes to play the game at a high level. Trey Coleman has been someone that has been in the Jeffersonville program coming up as a kid. You've had a chance to see him grow and develop, and it's been really interesting to follow not only the Jeff team last year, but his development as a player. He's starting to get some looks from college coaches. This will be a big, I think, games like tonight, the month of June with his Jeff team, travel ball later in the summer, and, of course, his senior year. This is a big time for him in his recruiting.
It is, and Trey's a great kid and a young man now. I've known him since he was in middle school and watched him kind of grow up and been blessed enough to coach him along the way. Hope he learned a few things. But he's also not reached his full potential yet. So what you've seen so far, I think Trey has a lot more to show us before, you know, his role comes to an end.
Corey, do you miss your playing days at William S. Johnson Arena?
Mentally, yes. Physically, no.
Corey Norman is my guest. He is helping with the Indiana-Kentucky Junior All-Star Game. The second game of a two-game series takes place tonight, and the Indiana boys were defeated last night by Kentucky over in Louisville. So this is not only an opportunity to see some great talent, but this is a revenge game for the Indiana side of things. Corey, one more time, the ticket prices, the start times, and other details you might want to pass along to listeners.
Ticket prices, are $7. The gate the door will open at 5 p.m. The game for the girls will start at 6, and the boys' game will follow. And, again, the game's at William S. Johnson Arena, Jeffersonville High School.
All right, lots of good players at Jeffersonville High School tonight. Corey, thanks to you and all the folks at Jeffersonville for your efforts in making this game possible at Jeffersonville High School, and I know we'll see you tonight.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
And, again, Corey Norman with me. Boy, he was a great player for the Red Devils, part of that 1993 state championship team, and helping his former coach, Mike Broughton, who is, as Corey mentioned, the director, the game director of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star side of things, at least from a Hoosier perspective, helping put that team together and all the details. And we're going to have Coach Broughton on with us this week at least one time to get ready for the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series. The seniors, the main event in that series, takes place Friday night at Bellarmine and then Saturday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. So after a little pause in basketball, at least from the high school perspective, getting back into things with a junior game tonight, a senior game Friday and Saturday in the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series. And I'm going to tell you later, Summer League basketball is back in full force this week. If you want to get out to Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League, it's tonight at Moore High School. It's starts slow early. I think the first game tonight is at 4:30. Last games start at 8:30 tonight. A lot of Louisville schools when it's at Moore, and, of course, when it's at New Albany and Hazelwood and Scribner on this side side of the river. Tuesdays and Thursdays, you get lots and lots of Southern Indiana and Louisville flavor as well. We'll give you the schedule for tonight, but again, tonight at Moore, you've got that going on in addition to what Corey was talking about with the Indiana-Kentucky junior game. Tuesday night, Summer League basketball at New Albany and Hazelwood. Wednesday night, it's at Moore and Christian Academy of Louisville. Back for a big night on Thursday at New Albany and Hazelwood. Lots of good matchups coming, so we'll tell you all about that schedule each day here on the program. That's the first segment in the books. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk all about this fiasco of a baseball game, at least the end of it, for both IU and Louisville. Some controversial calls. IU got off to a bad start, had battled back, but it's not enough as they fall to Louisville in the super regional. Excuse me, in the regional. I keep saying that. It's regional round. Now Louisville is headed to the super regional, but IU falls in the regional championship game to the top-seeded Cardinals last night. We'll start with that. We'll get into some basketball stuff with Zach when Zach is with us in the next segment as well. And then again, later in the program, Chad Gilbert, former or current Charlestown athletic director, former Jeffersonville basketball coach. He joins us every Monday for a segment on local sports, and he'll be with me later in the hour today. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more. This is a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Monday program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He's the IU insider for the Star, and he joins the Hoosier Report Mondays to talk normally lots of IU basketball, and we'll get to some basketball stuff in a bit. But today we're going to start with baseball. IU in Louisville over the weekend for the regional round got off to a rough start with a loss on Friday, came back with a victory on Saturday, which set up a big IU-Louisville matchup on Sunday that Indiana, to be frank, got off to a really bad start. Louisville pretty much dominating that game until a late push from Indiana made things a lot more interesting. And then, of course, the game ended with a lot of controversy, or at least some controversial calls. It seemed to me like coaches on both sides really not happy with some things that happened, probably with their teams and also with the umpiring later in that game. And that's, Zach, where I'd like to start today. Pretty wild finish at Jim Patterson Stadium.
Yeah. You know, in one respect, I think the first thing to say, and I think that this, a lot of this, it always surprises me how into college baseball suddenly this area of the country is. You know, when I was in college and Dan McDonald was just getting to Louisville, and I know he really hit the ground running with that 07 trip to Omaha, but, you know, then Indiana is building things under Tracy Smith, and you know, it's weird that, like, all of a sudden the I-65 corridor from Indianapolis to Louisville just has decided to be college baseball country in April, May, and June. So I think this has all kind of made the run around. You know, the first thing I would say is, listen, umpires should be allowed to have bad moments. Players have bad moments. Coaches have bad moments. Jeff Mercer kind of said something like that post-game yesterday. Umpires have bad moments because they're human, and that's just all part of the sport. It's just, I think it's also fair for everyone to be disappointed and frustrated when it comes in a moment like that, when the bad moment is the moment and kind of the key moment of the game. You know, if all he really said was, that's terrible or that's horrible, Michael McAvey probably should not have been thrown out of that game. It was a 50-50 call, that the called third ball that McAvey was protesting when he got ejected. Certainly, if as Dan McDonald said, is true, that McAvey was never given a warning, he probably shouldn't have been ejected. And then to call that third strike, which, you know, I playfully tweet all the time that, you know, when you see like a bad charge in basketball or something like that, I say, remember that makeup calls don't exist. when somebody gets called for a phantom travel, down at the other end of the floor. But in a moment like that, it shouldn't be. I mean, listen, I think the strike call replay has started to circulate. It's not a strike, and if you look at it from the side, it does kind of catch Ryan Feinman's knees, but it's diving away, and it looks pretty well outside. And you understand Louisville's frustration in that moment. You understand Indiana's frustration in that moment. I think, Jeff Mercer again just kind of made the point. He said he didn't want to comment too much on Louisville's side of things, which you understand. You know, he just didn't feel like it's his place. But he said, you make a call like that, that ends the season. It ends some guys' careers. And, that's just, it shouldn't happen that way. It shouldn't be that way. And you get why everyone's frustrated, but, Mercer, you kind of mentioned it there, was also quick to talk about Indiana did a lot of things to set itself behind the eight ball this weekend. You know, there were a lot of ways in which Indiana really hurt itself. Starting pitching wasn't quite up to snuff. Indiana made not a lot of errors necessarily, but a lot of bad decisions in the field, where to throw the ball, whether to hit a relay man here, whether to go to third on a first to third where you're probably not going to get the runner and let the runner at first advance to second and bust up a double play, things like that. Just little, mental errors that if they hadn't made them, maybe things turn in their favor because, in the end they lose a one-run game and a two-run game. They aren't far away from losing or from winning or putting themselves in a position to win either of those games, and they do as much to hurt themselves as any umpiring decision.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, Zach, the IU insider for the Star with us Mondays on the program. I want to talk a little more IU baseball, but I want to talk about it from a perspective of where the program is at. You said you're surprised how interested people are in this area along the I-65 corridor in baseball. And I do think that, Louisville has had a program that's had national success that does a really good job in marketing their games. I know they recently started charging for tickets. I'll be curious. I did not go to any regular season Louisville games. I'm curious if that affected or didn't affect attendance. But games that I have been in when the weather's been nice at a really good stadium, that is a really fun environment. And they've done well, including in recruiting Southern Indiana guys to kind of build that connection to this side of the river. Indiana, lots of positives, I think, with that program on and off the field as well. Very comparable stadiums that they play in, and a lot of reasons that both of these programs, I think, can continue to be really solid in college baseball. But when you look at IU, first-year coach Jeff Mercer, the job that he did, the record the team had, Big Ten champions, which I know they got a little help there from Michigan losing some late games, and, of course, Indiana – won the weekend series at Michigan, which also helped their cause. But for Indiana to stay where they're at and maybe take that next step and win a regional, get to a super regional, get to the College World Series here under Coach Mercer, what's next for the program? What are the next steps for him as he gets ready to enter off season number one and year two next year?
He talked about it, really, actually. He talked about, essentially Indiana just needs to be bigger, stronger, more athletic. And I know those are things that coaches say all the time. But, one of, I think, some of the most easy comparisons that you look at to Louisville, I think Louisville's always going to be a measuring stick. As long as Dan McDonald is there and having that success, Louisville's always going to be a measuring stick for Indiana. And Louisville pitches two of the three guys, not counting Michael Carrion, who came in and threw the last pitch. Two of the three guys, Liverpool. It was a good weekend if you were a Liverpool fan. That's one reason why my voice is a little bit hoarse. But two of the three guys Louisville throws in that game, for any extended period of time, are touching 95, 96. I think McAvain even got up to about 98 at one point. When they're throwing at their hardest. Indiana's got guys who can touch 92, maybe even 93. I think they've got some guys that if they really rear back and hurl, it can get 95. But it's not at the level that Louisville's got. And Jeff Mercer mentioned specifically power pitching. And this is a guy who had an All-American Big Ten Pitcher of the Year this season in Andrew Salfrank. So it's not like Indiana doesn't have good pitching. But Mercer made a really good point, which is baseball's changing. You need more of that power. You need that ability to overpower hitters, even at the college level. It's really even more important at the college level. And I think it's stuff like that. It's being more athletic on the base paths. It's having just that little bit more power. You know, Ryan Feinman gets a home run taken away. And I'm not saying that that's because Ryan Feinman didn't do one extra set of bench presses in the offseason. That's not what I'm suggesting. I'm just saying Indiana's trying to go from a place where it wins 35 to 38 games a year to where it wins 44 to 47 games a year. And in any sport, we talk about this all the time, the closer you get to the top of the pyramid, the steeper the climb becomes, and the finer the margin for error, the more difficult it all gets. And that kind of Indiana's last thing here. And I think there's, you know, I wrote a story about this going into the weekend. There's some questions about whether or not a Big Ten team can do this. You know, Louisville has the baked-in advantage of the ACC, which is, you know, Dan McDonald doesn't really seem to go south for a lot of recruits. He seems to still recruit the same areas you talked about that Indiana goes, you know, Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, that kind of thing, with maybe a little bit of national recruiting sprinkled in. But the ACC is one of the big four conferences in college baseball. You're getting good RPI opponents every weekend. You're going to have a stronger strength of schedule. You know, all that is going to be baked in a way that it's just not going to be for a Big Ten team. So there are some natural disadvantages there that Indiana's got to find ways to overcome. But Mercer certainly spoke like a coach that understood what those small differences are, what they look like in practical terms between a team that finishes 37 and 23 and a team in Louisville that I think now has 45 wins and is obviously going to be playing later today for a chance at a super regional again. And in some ways, kind of listening to him, you know, this is something I was thinking about yesterday, listening to him say this and then writing afterward and even thinking about it some more this morning. I did a radio hit in Louisville where I talked about the game. It does feel a little bit like Mercer is really kind of well-positioned for this jump. You know, Tracy Smith had to build IU baseball up virtually from nothing. And Chris Lemonis had to do this thing that had never been done in IU baseball history, which was not just take a coaching change and absorb that transition and go through it, but build IU into a program that could make the postseason without winning the Big Ten. You know, Indiana had never secured an at-large NCAA tournament berth until Chris Lemonis was head coach. And there were a couple times under Tracy Smith where they would have if they hadn't won the Big Ten tournament and gotten the automatic qualifier. But it's still the idea that Chris Lemonis had to build something that was more foundational, could be sustained. He had to take the torch from Tracy Smith and carry that on and do a lot of just sort of basic groundwork to build a culture and an expectation that would mean that even in a year where you're maybe not the best team in the Big Ten, you're still good enough, you schedule well enough, you hit well enough, you pitch well enough, you perform well enough in key moments that you're getting these at-large bids. Jeff Mercer has, you know, he won a Big Ten title in his first year, so you don't want to take away what he's already accomplished. But he's also been quick to praise the guys that came before him whenever you've talked to him, you know, over the last, I guess, about a year, maybe 11 months. And I think that it's really, he gets that foundation sort of, you know, prefabricated for him. He solidifies it under himself with the Big Ten title in his first season when he really wasn't expected to. Indiana was picked to finish fourth in the conference. Now, he almost just kind of has this opening to be able to take a few risks, to be able to talk really loftily about the next step, because that is the obvious next thing for Indiana, and you have a brand-new head coach who's got all the clout, who's got all the, you know, the savvy, who's got all – hasn't burned any bridges with his fan base or anything like that, who can just pick that ball up and run with it. It's almost really well-timed, if that makes sense. And so I think those are the next steps for Indiana. I think Mercer certainly seems to understand that those are the next steps. And now it's just a question of whether or not he can get it done.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us with some great stuff on IU baseball, not only the loss to Louisville yesterday, but the state of the program and perhaps the future of the program as well. I do want to talk a little bit about the Junior All-Star game. I believe you had a busy day in Louisville, right? You hit the IU game at Jim Patterson. You also made the junior-senior game. I think I saw your coverage of that yesterday, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of ran from Patterson over to Mercy Academy. I got there about midway through the first half and covered the rest of that, and then drove home.
Well, Indiana got a big lead. I was talking about this in the first segment and about also the game tonight at Jeffersonville, the rematch. Indiana, the boys, built a big lead. We know a lot of the names on the roster. There are some local connections, and then, of course, the IU recruits and targets like Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal at the top of that list. Built like almost a 20-point lead, not only saw that lead get squandered, but got beat by double figures by Kentucky, the junior boys, yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, they basically just essentially they lost it on the boards. I mean, they just got killed on the glass. I think they allowed like 21 offensive rebounds. They were up 19, but they were trailing by halftime, so, you know, they played from behind. I think they may have had a brief lead late in the second half. But they just couldn't keep Kentucky off the glass, and they couldn't shut down the second chance points. And you know, it's one of those where these are all-star games, and you're never totally sure, you know, kind of how perfect the rotations are. You know, Indiana's guys were cycling in basically five at a time. You're never quite sure how engaged the referees are. You know, the game was kind of called tight at some points and loose at some points, and you felt like neither side could get a great feel for exactly like how they should kind of play the game, I guess, you know, through the lens of the officiating. But, you know, Indiana lost and Indiana couldn't keep Kentucky off the boards. And I'm sure that they will be coming back tonight, you know, trying to make amends for that. And then, you know, also probably giving the seniors all they can midweek, but it certainly was a game where you just sort of felt like it was one of those, and I think fans of all stripes are familiar with this, one of those where you fall behind. Indiana's juniors kept hitting back, but every time it felt like they were kind of taking control of the game, getting a little bit of momentum, Kentucky had an answer, and a lot of times that answer was in the form of a rebound kick out free or a putback or a tip or something like that, something where just a little bit more sturdiness on the boards would have gone a long way. So, you know, it's how it goes. But, you know, I would also hope nobody's losing too much sleep over an all-star game in early June.
Absolutely. You had a chance to catch up with Anthony Leal. He was at IU late last week for a visit, and he told you Virginia Tech has been contacting him a lot recently, and he's got a trip set to Cincinnati once all the all-star stuff comes to a conclusion later this month in June. It sounds like his recruiting coming out of the spring is picking up, and he's got a number of Division I schools across the Midwest interested in his services.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think anything's imminent by any means, but it certainly, you know, he and I have talked a couple, maybe three times in the last, basically since he got his IU offer earlier in the spring, and it does seem like there's kind of a plan forming in his head, which is to say, you know, by the time my senior high school season starts, this will all be wrapped up. And that, again, I do not believe that means he's going to make a decision today or anything like that. But once a guy, you know, in my experience, once a recruit gets to thinking about his process that way, then it changes the way that he looks at visits, coach contact, in homes, you know, basically everything, because it almost just adds a little bit of a layer of reality to the entire thing, for lack of a better term, that when you're young and you're going on these visits, it's fun and it's cool and you're sitting behind the bench for big games and you're seeing great atmospheres and all that. But when you make the decision to sort of say that, you know, I want to be done by X date, then all of a sudden you do start to look at everything a little bit more kind of tangibly, a little bit, you know, you start to be a little bit more critical, a little bit more deeply sort of evaluative of everything that you're seeing. And You know, something that it seems like both he and Trey Galloway saw more of at Indiana, and I would guess we'll see more of it at, you know, these other visits they go on, is basically everything but the game day atmosphere, you know, because when you come for a game, even if it's Anthony Leal and he lives in town, he probably gets to, you know, Assembly Hall a couple hours before the game. It's not like there's time to take him around and have him meet with Cliff Marshall about the strength and conditioning program in depth, and then meet with Archie Miller about, you know, kind of his developmental plan in depth, because all those people have stuff to do on game day. When you're coming in May and June and July, and you know, whenever those windows are open for players to visit, that's when you get to look at the dorms. That's when you get to look at the, you know, the nutrition situation. You get to sit down with different people in the program and the department and really get like a much more sort of complete view of what it is that you're going to, what life is going to be like on a day-to-day basis that you, if you play at Indiana or at Virginia or at Stanford or at, you know, Iowa or wherever. I'm just pulling out schools that are recruiting Anthony Leal at the moment. And so it does seem like maybe that's kind of what's popping off the page a little bit more for some of these kids. And I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think that when you talk to a guy like Anthony Leal that now seems to have a firm plan in his mind of an end date, then I think you also are talking, you know, to a guy that maybe is just looking at things in a much more sort of critical way than he might have been 18, 24 months ago.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. Zach, final topic to bring up. V.J. Blackman, who will be a senior at Indiana, I think he initially put his name in the NCAA transfer portal, but it's been reported by a few people out there that he is going to return to Indiana for his senior season. Obviously a player that hasn't seen a lot of minutes and probably doesn't play some huge role or will not play some huge role on the team next season. But nonetheless, there's a circumstance where a guy wanted to explore other opportunities, wanted to see likely if there was a place where maybe he could land some more minutes, but ultimately is coming back to be a Hoosier next season.
Well, and I think, I mean, listen, I bleed on about this stuff all the time, but I think it's important. You know, I don't know if Archie Miller will, you know, because V.J. Blackman has been a walk-on at Indiana, you know, since he's joined the program. I don't know if Archie Miller would give V.J. Blackman a one-year scholarship, you know, because Indiana's got a couple open, and as of right now, it does not appear that there are any sort of hard and fast plans to use either of those before next season, and that can change. We saw it change when Race Thompson reclassified in 2017. But, you know, I don't know if V.J. Blackman will be on scholarship or not, but it's important to have experienced walk-ons. It's important to have experienced guys behind the scenes because, you know, if you're Indiana, you lost a couple walk-ons this season. You lost Johnny Jager. You lost Quentin Taylor. You know, those are guys who have prepared for Ohio State five times in their career, you know, who know what John Beilein runs, who know what Tom Izzo runs. And so when you're sitting those guys down and you're saying, okay, this, you know, today you're going to be, I'm just making up, it's June, I can't even think of who's in the Big Ten. You're going to be Jordan Bohannon. You're going to be Tyler Cook. You know, you're going to be Joe Wieskamp, and so on and so on and so on. Like, those guys already have a base of knowledge from which to say, okay, what Fran McCaffrey does is this, and the way that his point guards play is this. And there's going to be, you know, obviously, you know, unique individual kind of details to each scouting report, and there's different layers every year and different roles, players' roles change. But those basic foundations are so important. And a healthy walk-on culture is part of any healthy program culture. And, you know, it seems like Indiana is probably going to be taking a couple more on in the coming months. They probably need a couple, you know, quite frankly, just because, again, you've already lost a couple. But getting a guy like V.J. Blackman back, who, even if in his last year the vast majority of his contributions are behind the scenes, that's important. I mean, that kind of stuff is really important. And so I think that it's good news for Indiana. You know, you don't want to overhype anything, but, you know, that, to my mind, is something that it's just one less headache, one less concern going into next season, and that's always good.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us on Mondays to talk IU. Zach, thanks for the great update on baseball, basketball, and more, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman with us on Mondays. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and an IHSA Executive Board member, he's with us on the program. Always, we talk local sports with Chad on Monday coming out of the weekend, and we'll do that after this commercial break. Want to also give a shout-out to some of our sponsors that made our special regional baseball coverage possible over the weekend: the New Washington State Bank, Mitch Craig Heating and Cooling, Premier Homes of Southern Indiana, and Chick-fil-A Jeffersonville coming in early 2020. Really appreciate those guys, in addition to all of our regular sponsors, making sure that we could get there and provide dual coverage and cover everything that goes along with that. So we appreciate their help in our project over the weekend. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment of this Monday program. Chad Gilbert is with us after a couple weeks being off. We had a holiday mixed in there. Chad, I think you were out of town one of those weeks. And, of course, Chad is Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. Just when you think that school's getting out and high school sports are slowly coming to a close for the year and that everything might calm down a little bit, you realize there's a whole other set of activities that take place in the summer. We were talking about the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series earlier, the junior game tonight at Jeffersonville. Summer League basketball is back for the high school teams, along with all the recruiting activities that take place in the offseason as well. Chad, as we always say, especially in sports-crazy Southern Indiana, there really is never a downtime.
There never is a downtime, Matt. But first off, great coverage this weekend. Enjoyed listening to the games, following the scores. You guys do a magnificent job. And, again, that's a tribute to you and your guys getting things done for Southern Indiana kids. So I want to thank you for that right off the shoot. But it's like you said coming in with the summer leagues. Matt Dennison, again, putting together an outstanding summer league at New Albany for that, a chance for teams to get better, a chance for fans to go watch teams and kind of get a feel for the upcoming season. And then you got the Indiana All-Star Game. Special shout-out, special luck this week to Mike Broughton. You know, Coach Broughton is in charge of the All-Star Game. He's a winner. Anything he does is going to win. So I'm looking forward to him hosting this Saturday at Bankers Life, him getting things going this weekend with the junior All-Stars, the senior All-Stars. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun tonight at Jeffersonville. I hope a lot of people come out and watch our local kids participate, and I hope people get to come up and see what the future holds for Indiana High School basketball. And not only that, but to support Coach Broughton and the efforts he's put into the All-Star Game. I know he's worked really hard.
Yeah, absolutely. I know he has some big plans to make sure that series stays alive and to also make sure that that series, I think, maybe becomes more modern with times. Not that there's anything wrong with it, not that it still isn't a game that matters greatly to these kids, but obviously society changes, priorities changes, the number of activities and things to do out there in this time of year definitely change. So best of luck to him, as you said. And we talk about this every year. Kyle Nedenrip and I have had great conversations about this. Mike Broughton will be with us later this week. Scott Chalk as well, a great friend who is Coach Broughton's counterpart on the Kentucky side of things that is just fresh and taking over the Kentucky side. He is hungry to see this series stay around for many, many years. But your thoughts, Chad, on what this series means to basketball in these two states. We know at one time, we know when you came through, it was the deal in the summer. It was the deal, the bragging rights between two basketball-crazy states. The crowds aren't the same. The talent may be the same. Both states normally still produce a number of Division I players, especially Indiana. The numbers are just staggering, really. But where do you think this game stands on the basketball landscape, in your opinion, as we approach this 2019 edition?
Well, you know, going back to the day, whenever I can remember, my dad would take my sister and I and my mom, we'd go to Blue Boar Cafeteria in Louisville, get some dinner before the game, go to the All-Star game. He'd get us good seats over there. I can remember seeing Rex Chapman play, Felton Spencer on the same team over there. One game that stands out is when Roger Harden was Mr. Basketball and Scott Skiles was on the team. You know, I'm looking at my dad like, why isn't Scott Skiles Mr. Basketball? And, you know, because, and Roger Harden was a heck of a player, had a great career at Kentucky, but, you know, Scott Skiles, you could tell then, coming out of Plymouth, that he was special. But all those things, you know, it motivated me. I wanted to be an Indiana All-Star so, so bad. And came out with a strong, strong class, didn't make the All-Star team, and it devastated me. You know, it was almost to a point at one time where I was like, I'm not going to play anymore. Now, that's a sissy way out. That's a weak way of thinking things. That's an 18-year-old looking for an excuse. But, you know, my dad pushed me, said, you know, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to get better. And use that as motivation. I think a lot of kids, a lot of people my age felt the same way, or even older. You know, that was the crown jewel of playing in the Indiana All-Star game. There has been a little bit of lag in that. And part of that, you know, Indiana continues to play at Bankers Life. That's an NBA arena. In Kentucky, it's played at Bellarmine. Nothing wrong with Bellarmine. Bellarmine is outstanding. But, you know, maybe they could get a little bit better support if it was at the Yum Center. You know, back then, Freedom Hall was the premier place to play. And I know Kentucky's played a few different places. I can remember playing at the Sports Center in Kentucky Wesleyan. I think they played at Western Kentucky some. That may create a little more excitement. I don't know the new guy that's over there now. You say he's outstanding and works extremely hard, so I'm sure he's got that same motivation, same ideas to get it where it needs to go. But I do think the Kentucky-Indiana rivalry is something that comes into play and something that really brings out the best of the kids on both teams and makes it special to play.
Talking with Chad Gilbert. Chad is Charlestown's athletic director, of course, former Jeffersonville girls and boys coach, former player at Charlestown, currently also an IHSA executive board member, which is why we talk so much local high school sports with Chad is with us. I mentioned at the top of the show, Chad, Silver Creek baseball, congratulations to them. You mentioned our coverage as well, which is greatly appreciated. The Dragons back-to-back regional champions. They are still awaiting to find out their semi-state opponent and the location because of some weather that affected some other games in the state. But nonetheless, the Dragons are a game away from Victory Field, a game away from playing for a 3A state championship. It's really remarkable to think about how that program has grown under Coach Decker's leadership, and not only baseball, but let's step back from that and look at the entire athletic program, what Brandon Hoffman has built with basketball, the state championship back in March, successes in other sports as well, a new AD taking over, wanting to continue that momentum, a lot going on there at that school in a very positive light.
Success breeds success, Matt, and those guys have taken advantage of that, and they've went through some hard times. Don't just think that they've just woke up and say, hey, here's the talent here. They've worked those kids from a very young age to get them to the point where they are. When I say that, I'm talking about Coach Hoffman and Coach Decker. They've done that. They've had great assistants help them out, and they've had a great run of kids. You know, the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, they've had a good group of kids going. They had a lot of parent involvement at a younger age to get those guys involved. You look down their roster, a lot of people on there is people I went to school with, and they've worked hard with their kids, and they've got their kids in a position to be successful. That being said, Coach Decker and Coach Hoffman have coached those kids up and take them, you know, to another shot for Coach Decker to go back-to-back trips to the state final. So excited for those guys. I hope they have lots of luck, and I hope they can make it to the state finals next week. But those guys have really done a great job of turning the corner, and we feel like at Charlestown we've got a great middle school class that we feel like has the same type of it factor that the Silver Creek has right now. Silver Creek has a lot of it factor, and they've had that for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And hopefully we can build on that same tradition as they have.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's AD, IHSA executive board member, with us today. I want to close with this. It's something that we don't get to often on the program. I did not get to watch the game last night, which I was disappointed. I really wanted to end the weekend watching the NBA Finals. But who's going to win that? Golden State bounces back last night. Toronto looked really good in the first game. Obviously, Golden State really was able to put things together last night. Who comes out on top? Are you going with the Warriors?
You, You know, Matt, it's hard to say. Boogie Cousins come back, really gave the Warriors a shot in the arm. Injuries. Kawhi Leonard's beat up. You know, he's still out there putting 35 in, but he's beat up. Klay Thompson goes out with a hamstring last night. Kevin Durant is still out. It's hard to say. You know, it's that season is so long, Matt, and there's so much wear and tear on people. It's going to be a series of attrition. And Golden State, they play hard. You know, they talked about Kevin Durant coming back. I like the way Golden State plays without Kevin Durant. When he gets the ball, he's kind of a ball stopper. And people stand and watch. So I don't know. But to answer your question, I think Golden State in six.
Chad Gilbert with us on Mondays. Chad, thanks so much. Got to run. We'll talk with you next week.
Appreciate everything you do for Southern Indiana, Matt.
Glad
Thank
to.
You.
Thanks for coming on. Chad Gilbert with us on Mondays. That will wrap things up. Don't forget Kentucky-Indiana Junior All-Star Games tonight at Jeffersonville High School. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.